The Guarani Indians were once the largest tribe in South America. Their home was a forest that stretched from the Argentine Pampas across Paraguay to the Brazilian Amazon. Four centuries ago, Jesuit priests arrived to evangelize the Guarani, but some Indians never accepted the church and remained hidden in the forest. Today, however, the edge of the forest is all that's left. In Argentina, the government now plans to relocate the last of that country's Guarani onto small farm plots. Yet one band of Indians is still holding out. Producers Alan Weissman and Cecilia Weissman bring us this report.
A waterfall at the confluence of Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay. Millions of tons of water emerge from a dark green jungle and roar over hundreds of rock ledges that stretch for more than a mile across the river. This is Iguazu Falls, the most massive cascade in all the Americas.
It's beautiful. Uh-huh. That's on the Argentine side.
That's where she offers us to go tomorrow?
Yeah.
In recent years, Iguazu has become South America's Grand Canyon. Every day, thousands of visitors arrive in tour buses bearing video cameras and telephoto lenses. They stream along walkways that pass through roiling clouds of mist as sightseeing helicopters scatter flocks of parrots and toucans overhead.
Oh, they're gorgeous. You look at it and you wonder what the Indians, the original settlers, thought when they came upon this. It is gorgeous.
Sarto paningo entero alaguira cuera yer pesa o bebe ari o a sa ha orengo.
The water, the things of happiness, is something that God gave us. But we can't go to the falls like our ancestors did. Too many people from other places. It's like a foreign place now.
Just down the road from Iguazu Falls, in a 1,500-acre wooded tract on the Argentine side of the river, 20 Guarani Indian men and women huddle around a campfire under a makeshift tin roof. To ward off a chilling rain, they shake gourds and chant prayers. With ceremonial bamboo poles, they drum the sodden ground to invoke the sheltering spirit of the earth. All around are piles of charred wood that only recently was their village, until, they say, government men came and burned it.
We don't know who gave the order. The police said that the land had been sold. But I said that's impossible, because I've been here since 1901.
The shaman of this Guarani community is 90-year-old Pai Antonio Moreira. His is the only house still standing. Pai Antonio's long gray hair is tucked into a tattered hunting cap. Strings of beads crisscross his chest. His thin gray sweater and maroon sweatpants are wet and mud-spattered. As he speaks, his heavy-lidded eyes narrow with anger.
The police said, okay, don't worry. And the next day they return and burn all the houses. And I said, if you want to burn this house, go ahead. But you'll have to burn me in it.
Maria Cunyatai's home is now a tent of plastic stretched over wooden poles. Uniformed men, she claims, came to the village and threw burning logs from the cook fires into their houses. Then they loaded the Indians into a large red truck and took them to a new home site, alongside the garbage dump of the nearby city of Puerto Iguazu, Argentina. The mayor of Puerto Iguazu, Roberto Velázquez, explains his version of what happened.
That area was being given to Arabs who were planning to build a $450 million investment, a Disney World-type place with casinos, hotels. It had to be cleared of intruders.
A group of investors from Bahrain had expressed interest in the choice woodland on the Argentine side of the falls where the Guarani were living. Because the Guarani have no official title to the land, Mayor Velasquez dismisses Indian claims that the forest is and always has been theirs.
No, porque no tiene nada.
They don't own anything. We in Argentina need big investment. On the Brazilian side, they have 35,000 hotel beds, big restaurants, and tourist attractions. The Indians were given another place where they could live peacefully.
But shortly after Pai Antonio's village was burned, the Arab investors vanished, and with them the plans for the tourist complex. So the Indians abandoned the dump and returned to the rubble of their houses. Throughout this century, Argentina's Guarani have become sadly accustomed to witnessing their ancestral home give way to progress. Beginning around 1900, immigrant Polish, Swedish, and German farmers cleared much of the forest where the Guarani once roamed. Later came lumber companies, then tourist development, followed by a series of hydroelectric dams that flooded Guarani villages. The number of Indians who continued to live by the old ways shrank to a few thousand who retreated to the last remnants of wilderness.
Los gobernantes, donde dice acá en la provincia de Misiones, ya no hay guaraní, ya no hay indio.
The government always says the same thing. They say there are no guaraní, there are no Indians.
Alongside a stream, 2 hours south of Iguazu Falls, Lorenzo Ramos sits whittling a hunk of alecrim, the wood the Guarani once used to make arrows. Ramos, whose father was the village shaman, is the finest carver among the 50 Guarani Indians in this community. These people survive, but just barely, by weaving baskets and making wood figurines to sell to tourists. Lorenzo Ramos is only in his 30s, but he is stooped with exhaustion like an old man. His watery eyes squint at the likeness of a panther emerging from his block of wood. For the last few years, Ramos has led a struggle to convince Guarani people to resist government attempts to relocate them. In 1986, his own community was forcibly moved from their old home in the forest to this spot, a stony clearing where an acrid wind blows in from a nearby paper mill.
Había unas comunidades grandísimo antiguamente.
There were many communities that have been here for hundreds of years. Then the Misiones Paper Company decided they wanted that land. They burned the houses. It's the same thing that happened in Iguazu. There was no discussion about it.
No tuvieron ni una conversación, ninguna.
The land these Indians live on now legally belongs to the Misiones Paper Company. Beyond their drab wooden shacks, the forest appears oddly regimented. The trees are no longer Argentine species, but California and South African pines aligned in uniform rows, planted by the paper company for their superior fiber content. In this domesticated forest, the wild deer and boar the Guarani once pursued have disappeared. Lorenzo Ramos's animal carvings command top prices in Indian craft stores in the provincial capital, although he complains that the profits mainly go to middlemen. For Ramos, the carvings are more than crafts. They are a prayer to the Guarani god.
Nyamandu, first true father of all. Here I am, sorrowing again, with the bowls of fog that are the palms of my hands, the flowering branches that are my fingers. I make simple images of small pigs, of yellow armadillos, of the tigers that eat the deer, the images of all the animals, because the real ones are now in paradise with you. Only if I sell them to foreigners will I be able to buy a little meat, a bit of sugar, some tangy salt, and some cheap corn flour to eat with my people at the remaining places at our firesides. A handful of orphans from your paradise lending each other strength to remain in your earthly abode.
For a while, Lorenzo Ramos believed that the spirit was listening to him. 4 years ago, democracy came to Argentina after a long military dictatorship. The Guarani Indians managed to convince the new provincial legislature to declare them collective owners of lands where they had always lived and hunted. The law that resulted recognized the Guarani as a nation.
The old law said that every company should admit that they robbed the land from the Indians and they should give it back.
But the Guarani's triumph turned to shock when a new party took power and promptly repealed the law that gave them back their lands. Protesting Indians led by Lorenzo Ramos camped for weeks in front of the provincial legislature to no avail. Alejandro Pajón is the Secretary General of Misiones Province.
Ningún argentino puede admitir.
No Argentine can admit the existence of a state within a state. The Indians whine that they are the original owners of the land, but that isn't true. Some Neanderthal was the first owner.
Prime land needs productive investment, Pajón says.
No quieren trabajar.
Indians don't work.
Piden o venden chuchería a los turistas.
They beg or sell little crap to tourists. They can have land, but not that land.
Pero no esta tierra.
The government, he says, has selected 40,000 acres for the Indians, scattered parcels that would turn Argentina's Guarani hunters and fishermen into peasant farmers. The plan has divided the Guarani into factions. There are holdouts, like Lorenzo Ramos and the stubborn band at Iguazu Falls. But little by little, other village leaders are appearing in the Provincial Office of Indian Affairs to find out what the government is willing to give them. Vicente Acosta, a cousin of Lorenzo Ramos, is the latest to come. He brings a pile of maps and papers. Sipping tea with a government anthropologist, Acosta discusses which plots will go to his community.
We have to take advantage of the opportunity they're giving us. While we fight, our land is going to disappear. Then where are we going to go? I don't want to be Lorenzo Ramos's enemy, but we can't live the way our ancestors lived. The environment has changed. We can't blame the whites anymore. We need to make the whites respect us.
Some Guarani who have chosen to give up the old ways have come to the mission of Peruti. It is a village unlike any other Guarani settlement. Peruti's sturdy wooden cottages are neatly bordered by walkways and flower gardens. There's a community center, a school, and uniforms for the school children.
It was as if my heart spoke to me, and I heard the voice of the martyred Jesuits saying, do something for the Indians.
As a young man, Monsignor Jorge Kemmerer read of early missionary priests who had been murdered by hostile Guarani Indians. When Kemmerer was named Bishop of Misiones Province, he arrived with a dream of completing the work of the Jesuits. Peruti is one of two Indian mission villages he has built, modern versions of the old Jesuit reductions.
Y empezamos a enseñar un poco a trabajar y acompañar.
We created them so the Indians would learn to work. Otherwise, they will never escape being outcasts and deteriorating. With our help, they learn to stand up and walk.
The 47 Guarani families living in Peruti feel they had no other choice. They had to come here. But leaders like Lorenzo Ramos and the few remaining Guarani shamans believe that reduction schools, the gifts of color TVs, and the bishop's sawmill industry that employs Indian labor will end their way of life. Indians who must work by clocks and calendars can no longer make the ritual pilgrimages to other villages that are the foundation of nomadic Guarani society.
Lorenzo Ramos dreams about going back to the old way, but there is no way out.
Bishop Kemmerer is pleased that the church can offer an alternative to the Guarani. It's taken 300 years to bring them into the fold. But, he says, the church has been patient.
With time, integration must take place, or else the Guarani won't exist. They are so small, condemned to be forgotten. Already they are taking the first steps. In time, they will come to Christ.
In the dwindling forest near Iguazu Falls, Pai Antonio Moreira, the old Guarani shaman, blesses his shivering people. He sends strength to descendants of Guarani warriors like Lorenzo Ramos in their lonely battle against the cold choices offered to them by church and government. All around him, Pai Antonio sees God's realm disappearing. In his despair, he appeals even to the white man's deity.
We pray to everyone, even Jesus Christ. Too many animals have disappeared. Every day we are fewer. If this continues, it will be the same for white men. The gods will get angry with them.
White men may think the gods have favored them over the Indians, he says, but it is not so. When the Indians vanish, the rest will follow.
Not only us, God is punishing everybody. We are all one, whites and Indians, bones and flesh, the children, the animals. In time, God will know what to do. We'll all be gone, and the earth will be clean again.
With Cecilia Weissman, I'm Alan Wiseman, reporting.